Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Consumer Choice Center cast on this, the 29th day of June, 2017. We're joined by two visionaries in the area of consumer choice. We have Frederick Roda, who is Managing Director of the Consumer Choice Center, and we have Sam Bauman, who is the Executive Director of the Adam Smith Institute in London. So the big table topic that we have in front of us right now is the record fine handed down by the European Commission regulators, 2.4 billion euros on Google for so-called unfair search practices. You can call it a software monopoly. It's been called many things. Both Frederick and Sam wrote two articles on this, one in City AM by Sam. The title is, European regulators have totally missed the point about Google and monopolies. And Fred was quoted in Politico's piece on the transatlantic guns that didn't fire over Google. So we'll turn it over to Sam. If you could tell us a little bit about your initial thought about this ruling, what you thought initially when that came out, and then sort of your view that you expressed in City AM.
Sure. So I know there's a little bit of debate about this. My friend Diego Luaga, who works at Epicenter, slightly disagrees with me. But I think that the parallels between this case, the other European Commission cases to do with Google, and the very famous antitrust case against Microsoft that the US government brought in the 1990s are really, really strong. Because in all cases, what's happening is you've got a tech giant that is basically in trouble because it's doing what's called bundling. It's trying to get people who use one of its products to, it's trying to move them onto another one of its products by, I guess, taking advantage of the eyeballs it has. So in this case, Google Shopping, anybody watching probably has already used Google Shopping because they've probably used Google. It has an 80 to 90% market share. And if you search for products on Google, then Google will give something from Shopping, which is a price comparison tool. It gives you that product or similar products on lots of different websites. And the European Commission's case is that this is unfair and anti-competitive because it drives out some of Google's price comparison rivals. There's also an allegation that as well as preferring Google Shopping and giving it this sort of prized place at the top with kind of special images, that it's downrating, that it's giving, that it's kind of hurting its competitors and its search results. But those two together are the kind of real points. My main response or my main kind of thought is that this basically shows that they don't understand how competition works. There's a lot of people, I think, misunderstand competition. They look at competitive markets and they think that's good, which is great. And then they think that the lesson from that is that you need to have as much competition on every dimension as possible. What that means is that vertically integrated companies like Google that may have a product that is competing on one level with others cannot or should not try to minimize competition within the use of that product. So they then think that their job, the regulator, is to brute force competition into that service.
Okay, great. And one line that you had in the end of your article, you were saying that some have said that the European Commission only ever seems to punish American tech firms, not Europeans. The reason is simple. Because of rulings like this, there are no European tech giants to regulate in the first place. What did you mean by that?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, there clearly are no tech giants in the sense that Facebook or Google is a tech giant. Some people have said, okay, well, Siemens counts. But that's a much older company. That does a completely different thing to the sort of software-based tech giants that kind of dominate the economy at the moment. It's really funny, some of the responses people said to me. One person said Skype was a European tech giant. It's actually owned by Microsoft, although it grew out of Europe. Spotify is only worth $8 billion. It's a great company, but it's certainly not a giant. Somebody said SoundCloud. Somebody said, you know, we're getting really, really close to the bottom of the barrel here. And what's really interesting is that, you know, I think it's obvious that Europe has a tech problem, that tech entrepreneurs leave Europe. You know, they move to the United States, they move to Silicon Valley. And one of the reasons, I think, is that the European conception of competition is totally different to the American conception of competition. In Europe, hurting competitors counts as anti-competitive practice. in America, the only anti-competitive practice is a practice that's judged to be hurting consumers. That's really, really important as a distinction, because often things that are good for consumers are bad for other firms. If Whole Foods or if Walmart or Tesco cuts its prices really, really deeply, that's really bad for its rivals, but it's really good for me as a consumer. And the European conception of competition that sees the need to kind of enforce competition from the top down by forcing lots of companies to be within a marketplace and, as I say, brute forcing competition to within the use of a platform is really, really damaging. So when I talk about kind of competition within and between platforms, I think a really good example actually is mobile phone operating systems. Most people watching will probably have something like an Android phone or a Google or an Apple phone. Now, within those phone ecosystems, there isn't a lot of competition. So Google really, really emphasizes you to use search. You know, it puts a search bar at the top of every screen. It puts you pretty much need a Google account to use most of the services. It's not completely essential, but you're getting much less from your Android phone if you don't have a Google account. And then on the flip side of that, Apple really, really wants you to use things like Apple Maps. You can't make Apple Maps not the default Maps app and things like that. From the European point of view, this is really bad, and they actually have a lawsuit against Google because of this. From the point of view of the consumer, this is really good. Even if I can't compete within the app, even if I don't really have a choice about what Maps system to use within my iPhone, because I have a choice between platforms, I still have that choice. And these companies can only force me to use their apps to the extent that it doesn't drag down the overall quality of the platform below that of their competitor. And they're very, very competitive with each other. And what that means, the reason this is more than just a kind of interesting conceptual battle, the reason this is important for consumers is that the things that make money for these companies that they're trying to railroad you into using are what fund the investment in the things that you get to use for free. So Google Shopping, because that makes money for Google, they get a cut either of the, they get an advertising pay-per-click. Perhaps I get a cut from the firms. What is good about Google Shopping for Google is that it makes them money. What's good about Google Shopping for me, somebody who doesn't use it that often, uses it a bit, is that it pays for Google Search to be really good for all the non-shopping related searches that I do. It cross-subsidizes the free products so that you will use the expensive ones. And that's why it's really important for consumers that if you try and break up these vertical monopolies or these vertical companies, then the free services use point to get.
Definitely. And I think to speak to Fred's point, he was quoted in Politico, and in this topic, I had to say that there is an entire marketplace of search engines out there of different digital companies, and you don't necessarily have to use Google. So Fred, if you could expand on that a little bit and then react to some of Sam's comments.
Yes. We basically have 20th century antitrust, anti-monopoly laws trying to cope with the digital sphere. First of all, I mean, in the US you call it antitrust regulation, in Germany you call it anti-cartel regulation. We don't have a cartel here, we just have like a very successful company which is exactly not teaming up with their competitors, but is actually discriminating their competitors. And now they're getting fined for this. Whereas most antitrust cases, companies getting fined for, you know, agreeing on prices with their competitors and building a cartel, a trust. So it's really interesting that now the record fine is actually for the opposite, someone who has in heavy competition with their competitors. Now let's look at what we actually have. Okay. Google is being fined for Google Shopping because the European authorities do not see Google Shopping as actually a marketplace. They just see it as a shopping price comparison portal. And there are only very few other players in this market, such as Idealo, which is owned by Axel Springer, which is trying to compete with Google, but their tech is not so great, their algorithm is not so great. So they brought up the case, but in this entire assessment of whether Google has a market dominating position, they do not take into account companies like eBay or Amazon, because the EU sees them as actually marketplaces and not price comparison portals. Just out of fun today, I did a little poll on Twitter, and so far 34 people answered to it and asked people, where do you mainly look for products when searching online? And actually the majority, 56%, say they start with Amazon. And then Google is at 41% and eBay is at 3%. So it's actually, if people already want to buy something or search, they don't necessarily go to these price comparison portals. but the EU basically sees them as a closed ecosystem and does not see any interaction, don't group them the same industry as marketplaces such as Amazon, which is problematic. And I think it's a very artificial line they draw in order to put Google into a bad situation.
Definitely. And Fred, one thing I think we noticed as well is on Twitter, and many commentators were saying that this is actually cheating, and that any industry that is caught cheating should face some kind of fine or some kind of punishment. Would you agree with that?
There is no cheating. Google is very transparent that companies that pay for Google ads get benefited by getting higher search results. I mean, that's their asset, and I mean, companies are paying for this. Consumers have access to this information, and lots of consumers actually don't search on Google because it's maybe not the best place to compare prices, because you have this advertisement involved. That's why, for instance, you might want to go actually to Amazon, where you know that Amazon actually presents products by a vendor and their own products depending on what they cost. So it's very easy for consumers to change. You know, you just go on your other browser and you type in another URL and you add another price comparison stage. This notion that consumers are too stupid and that they're being deceived by Google, this is a really, really just anti-innovation, anti-corporate mindset. I would actually not say it's such a Europe versus America issue as maybe Sam and some other people in media said. I mean, if you look at the regulation of fintech, especially trying to buy Bitcoin in the US or just try to start any sort of fintech in the US, and in most states, it's almost impossible. So the moment it gets to fintech, Europe is much better on like micro investments and crowdfunding, crowd investing. Europe has a more favorable regulatory environment. We also have a couple of large tech companies such as SAP. I mean, that's a multi-billion company. It's a tech company, B2B, but they are out there, and almost no S&P 500 company can work without involving SAP. But what we have is a political case brought up by the commission. I mean, the current commissioner, Vestager, she more or less reopened the case. Her predecessor was really interested in mediating, finding out a solution which did not end up in a fine. And then it has to be politically pushed because the commission thinks they need to show some big win against someone. And they fail with dealing with Brexit. They fail getting free trade agreements, at least large scale ones. They fail with the immigration crisis. Hell, they cannot even deal with like rule of law violations in Hungary and Poland, which are their member states. So they just need to attack someone who can basically not really fight back. And that's like a foreign company, which has lots of cash.
Definitely. And one thing, Sam, that's very interesting is that this ruling is purportedly on behalf of European consumers, European citizens. Who does this ruling effectively help at the end of the day?
I'm glad you asked that, because I have in front of me the original letter sent by these rival price comparison sites in 2013, or one of them, which sort of called on the European Commission to open this investigation. And I quote, it says, "Google must be even-handed. It must hold all services, including its own, to exactly the same standards, using exactly the same crawling, indexing, ranking, display, and penalty algorithms." And that's co-signed by FactDem. Price comparison doesn't really go anywhere in the end. But one of the Expedia, which probably a lot of people know. And what is funny is to imagine that standard being applied to Expedia. So Expedia is a flights and hotels website. And Expedia has deals with certain hotels that if you search, then you might get a special deal with Expedia, and they will direct you to that hotel, and everybody wins. It's cheaper for you, and the hotel gets a customer. Can you imagine if Expedia was forced to treat all hotels, including the ones not signed up to any deals with it, equally? If it didn't have any right to discriminate between its partners and its non-partners, and literally all it was a search engine for hotels, and there was no way of it kind of prioritizing the ones it could make money from, it would really, really hurt the business. It's a really, really funny idea that Google is like a public utility, and all these other companies are allowed to do what they want internally, but Google isn't. And it goes back to Fred's point about we've got a really, really old, outdated idea about monopoly and about how companies can get a big market share. So maybe it's the case that with a water company, maybe there are such huge physical barriers to entry, to creating new water pipes, to a second set of water pipes, that if you own all the existing water pipes, you have something like a monopoly. And the case there, I actually don't buy this myself, but the historical case has been that if you have that kind of physical infrastructure where there's a barrier to entry, or if in the case of, say, black cab drivers, cabbies in London, you have a legal barrier to entry, then you have something like a monopoly. You have a way of keeping out rivals that are doing something better than you are. Then perhaps there's a case for regulation. I, again, don't really buy it in many cases, except where there's a legal barrier, but that's the historical case. Now, people are applying that logic to companies like Google, assuming that the only way a company like Google could have a huge market share of 80% plus of searches is if it has some kind of funny, effective barrier to entry to stop rivals from using it. You know, people say words like network effects, which I've never really understood when it comes to search, why network effects would be that important. But anyway, what they miss is the nature of tech. Because tech because technology can scale almost infinitely with users, it doesn't matter. There's no maximum limit to the number of Facebook users there could be. That you get what's called kind of winner-takes-all market. It's not one where we wouldn't expect social media or search engines to have a very fractured audience share. You'd expect people to all move to whatever the best one was. So you would end up with, for the time being, a Google or a Facebook being utterly dominant. But as long as there aren't barriers to entry stopping rivals from coming in, doing it better, you would expect also people to move quite quickly away from that. Maybe in this case of social media, network effects are present. That's the real difference, and that's the really, really key thing here. If Google is degrading the quality of its product by including Google Shopping, and I'm not convinced actually it is, but that's the claim at least, if it is degrading the quality of its product, then that creates an incentive and a benefit for rivals like that don't do that, or that have a better price comparison thing built in, to attract users away and say, we're going to give you a much more honest, a much more cheap version of a price comparison software. And actually, Bing did do that. Bing did do advertising, saying their price comparison software was better than Google's. It's the crucial thing. You know, you can kind of imagine, suppose Google, which has failed miserably in a lot of things it's tried, one being Google Plus, its attempt at social media, social networking. Imagine if they just decided to exclude Facebook from its search results. A lot of people searching Google and Facebook. Imagine if they started doing that and Facebook wasn't there anymore. Now, it's possible they just click on straight to Facebook, they type that in. But a lot of them, I think, would say, hey, well, you know, screw this, I'm going to move to a different search engine. That's an example of where the thing that Google is accused of doing would hurt it and would drive people to other search engines. And I think that's evidence that we can imagine something like that, that what's happening here is not equivalent.
Okay. Fred, any response to that?
Yeah, I mean, I've also been writing about temporary monopolies are not being a problem, but rather a norm in the tech field. I mean, there are so many. I mean, I've been using computers now probably, or the internet, for maybe the last 18 or 19 years. And there were so many things like the AOL front page, which always greeted me at the beginning. That's gone. MySpace, what's that? There was in Germany StudiVZ, which had the monopoly on social network. Gone. There was letsbuyit.com and the new economy bubble. There were so many sites that were really dominant, and they're gone because there are two things which are very different compared to the legacy or to the old economy. That's diffusion pace, how fast consumers adapt to a new technology or new service, and the pace of disruption because of really low market entry barriers. So I totally second what Sam said, is that users can adapt very quickly, and they are not even limited by hardware to what or in most cases they're not even limited by hardware what they can use. So let me just say one more thing about the practical implications of what the Commission now basically is pushing for. They're pushing for Google changing their business model when it comes to Google Shopping. So if a regulator telling a very innovative company what they're allowed to do and what not. I've not really seen that there are any consumers being victims of what Google did. Their competitors might be victims, but that's competition. I mean, hopefully we don't have corporate welfare. And I mean, the plaintiffs were corporations which were unhappy with Google actually being successful. And it started not just in 2013, but actually in the almost 10 years ago, I think, one site started and other plaintiffs were jumping on it. So basically, Google will now be forced to incorporate other price comparison websites such as Idealo or DuckDuck, I think, and Bing in their Google Shopping system. In the short term, I read this today, in the short term, actually, it might mean for Google that they have more traffic and more clicks in their shopping portal, which means actually they will generate more revenues for Google. Google's just not interested in it. because they just prefer to stick to their business model. But it means that we will have a very convoluted Google Shopping that's probably not as versatile. As Sam already said, we will get this mandated clusters of basically all search and comparisons pages being put together, which might actually not be wanted because customers maybe search for something specific. And Google has a very specific way of curating their information to users, and users might like this more, at least users using Google Shopping, than users who go to Amazon or Idealo, because there are different ways of presenting information. And there's hundreds of millions are being spent in research on curating advertisement and price comparison to consumers and their competing business models. The EU ruling is now destroying this business model and forcing one of the most innovative companies in the world to adapt to a business model regulators approve to. If this is going to continue, and the tech space and the digital space is being prospectively regulated and business ideas are being regulated, we're actually going to have a problem. Innovation will only be as fast as innovation. We all know that regulation is really slow and usually lagging behind by decades.
Sam, any last points on that?
Yeah, I think it's really, really important, Fred's point there. The most direct thing that I'm worried about is that this sets a legal precedent for other cases like this one that might be more important. Now, Google Shopping is probably not—it's not core to Google's business, and so on. It's not the most important thing. Whereas Android is absolutely core to Google's business, and the European Commission is pursuing a case very similar to this one to do with Android and to do with the bundling of Android of Google products with Android. Now, we really want a situation where Google is being not just fined but prevented from bundling its software with Android in the European Union, because that will starve Android, the operating system, of investment. That's a really, really useful operating system with a lot of positive externalities, because it's free, it's open source, you can build a lot of things on top of it. Even if you're not an Android user, it probably affects you very positively in your life. And if the cut off a very important revenue stream for the development of that software, that could have really serious negative implications for consumers of all kinds of products and for people who use mobile phones in general. That's a really big worry for me on the horizon.
It's a very important point.
Yes, and just one last point. I mean, it's also important to see that, for instance, telecommunications companies in Europe are not allowed to, for instance, enter the direct messaging market. So we have this industrial policy in Europe which basically tells corporations in what spheres they're allowed to be active and how much they're allowed to be diversified and bundled and how much they're not. And this is bad for consumers, because we would have more direct messaging apps if like all the former state-owned telco companies would also be allowed in this sphere. I mean, I personally don't think that these would be good apps, but they let them try. But they are actually legally prevented from that by the deregulation acts of the early 90s from the EU. Which is to say, you let them compete with Google and Telegraph and iMessages and WhatsApp and see who's better.
Definitely. A very important point, and I hope the people in the European Commission are listening to that. I want to thank both Fredrik Rode of Consumer Choice Center and Mr. Sam Baumann of the Adam Smith Institute for taking your time. A great conversation, and let's hope to continue this and push for greater consumer freedom. Thank you both.
Thank you.